Turn to Proverbs chapter 23. Proverbs chapter 23. Would you please stand? Verse 15. My son, if thine heart be wise, my heart shall rejoice, even mine. Yea, my reins shall rejoice when thy lips speak right things. Let not thine heart envy sinners, but be thou in the fear of the Lord all the day long. For surely there is an end, and thine expectation shall not be cut off. Hear thou, my son, and be wise, and guide thine heart in the way. Be not among wine-bibbers, among riotous eaters of flesh, for the drunkard and the glutton shall come to poverty, and drowsiness shall clothe a man with rags. Hearken unto thy father that begat thee, and despise not thy mother when she is old. Buy the truth, and sell it not. Also wisdom and instruction and understanding. The father of the righteous shall greatly rejoice, and he that begetteth a wise child shall have joy of him. Thy father and thy mother shall be glad, and she that bare thee shall rejoice. My son, give me thine heart, and let thine eyes observe my ways. Thank you. You may be seated. This astonishing text, which I want to share with you today, is very easy to remember because it's in Proverbs 23:23. Buy the truth and sell it not. Now, it's got a little bit of a history for me, this text, because I see that I've preached on it before. Once before I preached on this, and then last Sunday I went to Port Waikato to take a service there with the people in the afternoon, and they had for a pulpit a cardboard box, and of course I got up there all set to preach a sermon on buy the truth and sell it not, and I had some thoughts written out to keep my mind cogent. But when I put those on the box, and then I put my Bible on top of those, there I couldn't see anything except my Bible. And of course I thought, well, that's a good thing if a preacher can only see his Bible, that's good. And so in a way, instead of preaching what perhaps I had prepared, I had to then speak, as one would say, from the heart, which we always try to do anyhow, and give that message which was in my heart. And yesterday, having to speak at the wedding and doing all the preparations that go with it, I thought to myself, well, now this will be easy on Sunday morning, because what I'll do is I'll preach the sermon on Sunday morning that I did preach in Port Waikato. And as I went to look at the preparations that I'd made, I discovered they were inadequate. I discovered that there were things that God wanted to say to us that he hadn't told me before in that way. And so I can promise you today that as we look into this text together, there's a freshness about it to all of our hearts, because of course that's what the Word of God is like, isn't it? It's like that. That God brings an instruction to our hearts, and I hope that you will take his instruction deep into your heart, that you will buy the truth and sell it not. Remember how Isaiah the prophet stood on the corner of the world in which he lived and said, Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that has no money, come ye buy and eat. Yea, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. And of course you know that the milk speaks to us of that life-giving blessing from God. And the wine, if it speaks to us of anything in the Bible, it speaks to us of the redemption that is in Jesus. And we know that when God is saying you've got to buy these things, it's without money and it's without price. And when we're talking about buying the truth and selling it not, we're not saying that this is something that you can buy with money. There's things that we need to understand. For example, we need to understand that the human intellect cannot know God. It cannot understand God. The human intellect can know about God. You can know a lot about God, but there's a difference between knowing about God and knowing God. You can only know God through spiritual illumination. Jesus said, that only those know me to whom the Father reveals me. And I quoted a little bit of the verse in my prayer when I talked about the Holy Spirit, as Jesus said, coming and taking the things of Jesus and revealing them unto us. So if anybody thinks that by your intellect you can know God, the Bible contradicts you, because the Bible says that the world by wisdom knew not God. You can't know God by your intellect. Now you can know truth by your intellect, but you can't know God by your intellect. You see, God doesn't speak to the intellect. God speaks to our human spirit. He speaks to our hearts. That's why some of the driest and crustiest people in the Christian church are some of our theologians. Because what they have got is, they have got theological facts, but not always spiritual truth. There was never more theological fact in the world than there was in the days when Jesus walked the earth. The Pharisees were right. They knew the law of Moses, but they didn't know God. They knew the truth of the commandments, but they didn't have them in their hearts. They knew that it was wrong to do these things on the Sabbath day, but they had made a God out of the Sabbath day. And Jesus said, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. And so you see, you can have a theological truth, and let me tell you, that's what's wrong with so many of our Christians today. They have a theological truth in their hearts, but they don't have it in their lives. You may know, for example, you may know that God so loved the world. That's a theological truth. That he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish. Now you may know that, but do you know that God loves you? Do you know that Christ died for you? Has it ever come upon your heart? We have people who come to Christ for all, week after week. They are still not born again. They still don't know the Lord. Why not? They could get up in a meeting and quote John 3:16. They have theological facts, but they don't have divine illumination. And so this truth that we are to buy, you don't get it in the markets of men. You don't get it from your intellect. Now let me say this. Intellect cannot know God. The spirit of man can know God. And the spirit of man can encompass intellect. You can intellectually know God. Just because you become a Christian doesn't mean you stop thinking. You can intellectually know God after your spirit has been illuminated. In other words, you can be a theologian with your facts on fire. Many people today that know the truth but don't have it are like Elijah on Mount Carmel. Everything was ready. The sacrifice had been made, put upon the altar, cut into pieces. All the people were gathered there, this great sacrifice, and Elijah had even poured water over it, because what Elijah was saying is, a fire is going to come upon this, which is so much from heaven that water has no effect upon it. And I want you people to see that this comes from God, so I'm making every human endeavor to make it impossible for anything to happen unless God does it. Now, Elijah standing on Mount Carmel with a cold sacrifice in front of him, with the wood and the stones and the water and the oxen, all there is the dead orthodoxy of men and women who have religious truth without God. Because that was just a sacrifice. They were just stones. It was just wood and just water. But then Elijah prayed. And after he prayed, the fire of God came upon that sacrifice. It was immediately different. It was different to any other sacrifice in the world. Those stones were different to any other stones in the world, and so was the wood and the water. Because God was there. Because God sent his fire and his power upon it. Isn't that what he has to do in our lives? Isn't that what he has to do with the truth that we know? You've got to buy the truth and sell it not. You have to have that truth which comes only from God, that spiritual illumination which comes only from him. So be warned. Be warned of knowing the truth but not having the truth. Be warned of knowing about God but not knowing God. I believe with all my heart that this is one of the things that every Christian has got to face. Some of you sit here today, you don't know whether your sins are forgiven or not. You don't know where you stand. And yet you've got theological truth. And your mind is telling you something. Your mind is saying, but I must be a Christian. Surely I'm a Christian. I believe Jesus died on the cross. I believe he rose again from the dead. Surely I must be a Christian. If you believe that, well, don't you think the devil believes that Jesus died on the cross, that he rose again from the dead? What is the difference? The difference lies in, have I received Christ into my life? Have I been born again of the Spirit of God? Is the truth of God in my heart, as Jesus said, you shall know the truth. But that's not all he said. And the truth will set you free. So if you're not free, the truth you know is not the truth. The truth you have is not good enough. It doesn't have that divine illumination. All of us who have a library admire the great work of the Salvation Army. We admire and are amazed at the way that God raised up that little band of people and spread them into, I think, 80 different countries of the world to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. And while we may not agree with them in all theological points, we certainly cannot disagree with their fire, their zeal, their holiness, their love. What was it that was different about the Salvation Army in those days to the average Christians in the world? The difference lay in their understanding and their apprehending of the truth. As Paul said, I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Jesus has taken hold of my heart. Something's happened to me. I am different. And William Booth wrote a song. I was thinking about it last night, and I thought, well, I might share some of it with you to illustrate what I'm saying. Now, he's talking in this song about salvation. Look for yourself in this song. Look for the truth in this song. And ask yourself a very simple question. Do I enjoy this? Is this the experience of my life? If that is truth, do I have that truth? O boundless salvation, deep ocean of love, O fullness of mercy, Christ brought from above, the whole world redeeming, so rich and so free, now flowing for all men, come, roll over me. My sins, they are many, their stains are so deep, and bitter the tears of remorse that I weep. But useless is weeping. Thou great crimson sea, thy waters can cleanse me. Come, roll over me. My tempers are fitful. My passions are strong. They bind my poor soul and they force me to wrong. Beneath thy blessed billows, deliverance I see. Oh, come, mighty ocean, and roll over me. Now tossed with temptation, then haunted with fears, my life has been joyless and useless for years. I feel something better most surely would be if once thy pure waters would roll over me. O ocean of mercy, oft longing I've stood on the brink of thy wonderful life-giving flood. Once more I have reached the soul-cleansing sea. I will not go back till it rolls over me. Do you like this song? Isn't it coming from the heart of a man who understood that truth must be joined to reality, that facts on their own are not enough, but like Elijah on Mount Carmel, we've got to have our facts on fire. That when a fact has got fire in it, God is in it. And a fact on its own is knowledge but not truth. A fact on its own is just knowledge and not truth. And fire on its own is just zeal. But fire and fact put together gives us that thing that God means when he talks about truth. And so he has the experience. He said, I'm standing on the brink of this life-giving flood. I will not go back till it rolls over me. The tide is now flowing. I'm touching the wave. I hear the loud call of the mighty to save. My face growing bolder. Delivered I'll be. I plunge neath the waters. They roll over me. And now, hallelujah, the rest of my days shall gladly be spent in promoting his praise, who opened his bosom to pour out this sea of boundless salvation for you and for me. Isn't that a wonderful song? Isn't that a great truth? That's the kind of thing I'm talking about here this morning. That's what you get when you buy the truth. That's the kind of truth that is so different from the truth of the schoolroom, the truth of the philosopher, the truth of the so-called intellectual man. This truth that comes only from God, which is without money and without price. This truth that is different. You can't buy it with money. With money, you can't buy health, you can't buy brains, you can't buy genius. You can't buy humility, you can't buy love. You can't buy a stainless reputation. You cannot buy anything. You can't buy a pure conscience. You can't buy the touch of an artist. You can't buy the fingers of a great violinist. You can't buy those things. Those are things that are given by God. And you can't buy them. But that's the truth. And it's that truth that God wants us to have. Jesus said, you've got to buy of me. When John Bunyan wrote Pilgrim's Progress, remember how Christian and the others were going where? They went to Vanity Fair, and this whole world has become a Vanity Fair. And they went and looked at some of the things that were on sale, and they didn't want to buy anything. And the sneering crowd said to them, what will you buy? If you're not buying this and you're not buying that, what will you buy? And Christian replied, we will buy the truth. Of course, you won't find the truth in Vanity Fair. You've got to know the truth. As has already been said, Jesus said, you will know the truth. And the truth will set you free. Paul the Apostle talked about God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. Jesus said, if you are my disciples, you will continue in my word. If you are my disciples, you will continue in my word. Rather, let me give it to you properly. If you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Do you read your Bibles? Did you pore over the scriptures this morning? Did you lift up your heart to God? Did you open the sacred page? And did you say to the Lord, Lord, write something upon my soul today? Because if you didn't, you're not being a disciple. Now, you may not have been able to, but surely you will today. This book is the only material, tangible evidence of the presence of Jesus Christ upon the earth. You can't find his cross. Oh, the Catholics in Europe, when Martin Luther was alive, used to sell what they said were pieces of the cross of Jesus. And some of the churches used to have a piece of wood in them, and they would say, this is a piece of the cross. And people would come and pray to it and put money down by it and all these other things. They said that if you could gather up all the pieces of the so-called cross of Jesus in these churches, you would have had enough timber to build Noah's Ark. Those are the lies of men. He left no tangible thing upon this earth except two things, really. The book and the church. Do you read the book? Do you love the Bible? We bought some Bible reading calendars to the service this morning. I hope you'll take one home with you. I'm using it this year because I got such a shock the other day, a few weeks ago. I thought I was reading more of the Bible than I was. And then when I started writing down, checking out what I was reading, I discovered I wasn't reading as much as I should have been. Jesus said, the word that I've spoken unto you has made you clean. Are you being cleansed by the word of God? Are you being cleansed in the precious blood of the blood of the Lamb? Are you? Or are you just going on in a carnal kind of way? You know that one of the great burdens that God is placing upon my heart is the terrible havoc. Now that's a New Testament word. Where they came in and made havoc of the church in the book of Acts. And I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, Satan is making havoc of the church today. Why? Because Christians don't know the truth. They are carried about with every wind of doctrine and cunning craftiness whereby men lie in wait to deceive. They don't know the truth. Buy the truth and sell it not. And it's going to cost you something. To know what God is saying to you. It's going to cost you something. First thing it'll cost you if you want to know the truth, it'll cost you your sins. You can't know the truth if you're living in sin. If you're not a Christian, I'm telling you on the authority of the Word of God, and I say it to you in love, that you cannot know the things of Jesus Christ until you come to Jesus Christ as a sinner, and repent of your sins, and believe on him. You can't, because the Bible says that the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, neither can he know them, for their foolishness unto him. An ordinary man, you can get a man with a degree in theology. You can get a man with a PhD for something else, and that man does not know as much as the little lady who does his ironing for him, if she's trusting in Jesus. The man, you can't come at God with your mind. The world by wisdom knew not God. You can only buy the truth as it is in Jesus. And if Christians are not reading their Bibles, Satan will make merchandise of your soul. The church has never been in greater danger than it is today, because it accepts so much error. The winds of doctrine, sometimes I say to people, I don't know how Christ for All survives. Almost every week, people come in with another idea. And another idea. And we get people going away. Some people go away because we let women come up on the platform and do something for Jesus. Other people go away because we will not adopt a narrow attitude that emasculates half of the New Testament. Other people go away because we refuse to judge Billy Graham. Who's made us a judge? The Apostle Paul once said, didn't he? Who made me a judge? Who made you a judge? The great Apostle Paul. He said, I judge not mine own self. What he was really saying was, I do not have the capacity to know my own heart as I should. So if I sit in judgment upon myself in myself, I disqualify myself. That's why we need the Bible. I read a pamphlet the other day about Billy Graham, about 4 pages, written by a man that I deeply respect and love in Christ. And they were quoting these different things that that man of God had said wrong or done wrong. 40 years of public ministry for Jesus Christ, talking to more people about Jesus Christ than any other man who has ever lived in the history of the world. And all they can find against him is 4 pages. That's not bad. That's not bad for that much ministry. We have got to understand something about the truth. Today, we thank God for Martin Luther, for example. But if Martin Luther was living in Auckland, you wouldn't thank God for him. Not some of you, narrow-minded people. What you would do is you would criticize him and write a pamphlet against him because he baptized children. You wouldn't say he was a great man of God, but he was. Ladies and gentlemen, we've got to buy the truth and sell it not. We've got to hang on to the truth. A man can receive nothing except it comes to him from above. Never forget that. You remember when Jesus said to the disciples, who do you say that I am? Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Now what did Jesus say unto him? Jesus said to Peter, flesh and blood has not revealed that unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. Flesh and blood didn't tell you that. You didn't learn that from the Pharisees. God our Father told you that. Otherwise you wouldn't know it. It hasn't changed. All spiritual truth and illumination still comes from God. No man can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Ghost. Only the Spirit of God in your life, wedded to your spirit, can enable you to say that Jesus is Lord. But you say, oh, I hear people say that Jesus is Lord. Yes, that's true. But when Jesus was here upon this earth, the Pharisees said, Jehovah was God. And they were right. But God didn't hear their prayers. God wasn't with them. They were in the place of truth, but they didn't have the truth in the heart. And when the psalmist David sinned and committed adultery, and when he went down into the valley of terrible humiliation and failure and fear, and when he went down into that place where he couldn't see the face of God anymore, and then turned around and started coming back again. What did he say to God? He said to God, "Thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom." You desire truth in the heart. Now the Bible says, there's a very interesting portion in 1 John. It says there that if our hearts don't condemn us, then we are assured before God. If our hearts condemn us not, then we have confidence towards God. And I'm making a plea here this morning, ladies and gentlemen, for a Christianity that is really based in the truth. Where you buy the truth and you sell it not. And that truth is not a simple thing. For example, there are many errors in the church, and sometimes they get preached in this church. For example, some people say, if you've prayed a prayer to God, you don't have to pray that prayer again. You've got faith. You prayed your prayer. You don't have to pray that prayer again. Now, that's not true. It's not biblical to talk like that. How do I know? Well, I mentioned Elijah a little while ago. How many times did Elijah pray for rain to come down? How many times did he say to his servant, go and see if it's raining, if there's a cloud coming? 7 times. Time after time after time. What did Jesus teach? Jesus taught that the woman who kept on asking the judge, kept on, and when the judge said, go away, I don't want to talk to you, she wouldn't listen. She kept on pleading her heart, pushing her case. Finally, he listened. And then, of course, in all things, the Lord Jesus Christ himself is our great example. How did Jesus pray? In the Garden of Gethsemane. If it be possible, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Pressing the case upon the heart of God. Do you think that he only said it once? Look at the Apostle Paul. And I'll tell you a strange thing, ladies and gentlemen. In today's world, most of the evangelical Christians who are departing from the truth are departing from the truth through the epistles of Paul. Because you know what they're doing? They're getting the Paulian letter, but not the Paulian spirit. They are like birds trying to fly with one wing. For instance, you are a bird flying with one wing. If you say, well, you only have to pray once. If you pray a prayer, then once you've prayed that prayer, God has heard you, and you can go away and pray something else. What did Paul himself say? 3 times I asked the Lord to take this from me. 3 times. I besought the Lord. Now there's the truth. There are very rare occasions when we can go to God and the Holy Ghost comes upon us in such a way that he gives us what is called the prayer of faith. And that's a very rare thing. And we pray that prayer. And we know that in that prayer, and we will be talking about that prayer when we speak about the Spirit praying through us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And when we pray that prayer, we know as surely as God is in heaven that that prayer is answered, but it is rare. It can only come from the Holy Ghost. It doesn't come from us. But here upon this earthly sphere, buying the truth, we have to pray many times for the same thing. And didn't Jesus teach that to his disciples when he said, this is how you pray, give us this day our daily bread. Didn't say to the disciples, now you pray at the beginning of the year and tell God you're going to trust him for your food. You had to pray every day, give me my bread, every day. Another thing that's been taught sometimes here is that if you, as it says in 1 John chapter 1, verse 7, the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. And so some people say, and this is an error that has crept into the modern day evangelical church, that Jesus died for all our sins. Now that's true. When he died on the cross, he paid the penalty for every sin we would ever commit. That's true. And so they say, well, if you, all you have to do, you don't have to confess your sin. What you do is you just acknowledge that you've sinned, and the Lord takes care of your sin for today, tomorrow, and the next day. Now, that's not true. That's only half a truth, which makes it a very dangerous truth. Because you've only got to read two verses beyond the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son cleanses us from all sin. Now, that's one wing of the bird. But the other wing of the bird, so this bird can fly, is if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, where do men get the idea from that you can just put a blanket statement upon Jesus like, well, he paid for all our sins, we don't have to worry about them anymore? Where do they get that from? They get it from a lack of spiritual fire. You see, they have a truth, but it's not on fire. All of us that sin know that we've got to confess and forsake that sin, and we've got to seek the cleansing of the Lord. And yes, he does go to the place called Calvary, and there the forgiveness is. That's where we obtain mercy. We come to the throne of grace and we obtain mercy upon the grounds of what Jesus did on the cross. But ladies and gentlemen, let me warn you as a Christian. If you are sitting here today with unconfessed sin in your heart, you will appear before the judgment seat of Christ. And you will give an account. And you will go through the excruciating agony of having to deal with something in heaven that you should have dealt with upon earth. And you'll say, oh, it will be all right. No, it will not. You don't know your Bible. Paul said, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. I tell you that I don't understand it, but there are truths that have to be dealt with in this life. Let me give you another truth. You die, and the Bible says, he that is filthy, let him be filthy still. He that is holy, let him be holy still. It is not wrong to say that when you die, God puts a seal upon your heart. And I want to ask you all here today, do you want to appear before Jesus Christ exactly as you are now? Because if you go outside this service and a motor car gets you, you will. You will. And if that's true, perhaps you better get two wings to fly with. There are all kinds of truths like this that I could talk about, but I want to leave that. I want to take you, if you will, you come over with me into the third epistle of John. The third epistle of John, not far from the book of Revelation. And you see the emphasis. I said the third, let's start with the second. The second epistle of John, verse 1. And let's see the emphasis of truth. By the truth. This is what John wrote. Now just let me make a little quick preface here. One of the most difficult books to understand in the whole Bible is the first epistle of John. And I believe the reason for that is because of what he says is so deep that the mind can't grasp it, but the heart can. If the Holy Ghost is speaking to you, if the Spirit of God, if you all with open face are beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, 1 John will not, it may have some difficulties. And I said before, there's a lot of Christians today that are wreaking destruction upon themselves. I'm only repeating what Peter said. He talked about the epistles of Paul, and he said, some of these people, Paul, he said, wrote many things hard to understand, of which people are wrestling to their own destruction. And I say to the Christian church, we have to look at the epistles of John, and we've got to look them squarely in the face. And we have to stand there in our fear and in our trembling. And we've got to stop measuring ourselves among ourselves and comparing ourselves with each other, or comparing ourselves as preachers with some other preacher. We've got to go to God ourselves. And we've got to say, oh God, what are you really saying? The elder unto the elect lady, I'm reading from Second Epistle of John, verse 1. The elder unto the elect lady, that is the church, and her children, that is the fruits of that church, those who've been born again through their labors, whom I love in the truth. And not only I, but also all they that have known the truth, for the truth's sake which dwelleth in us and shall be with us forever. That's the truth of God. That's the truth of which I'm speaking this morning. That truth that is in Jesus, who said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. That truth that somebody mentioned here, God is a spirit, I think it was Mr. Daniel. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit, and that small s. So you can say if you want to, I'm not twisting it around, if I say, not in the intellect, not with your knowledge, not with your mind. They that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Man is divided by God into three parts, as we're told in the book of Thessalonians. Spirit, I pray God that your whole spirit, soul, and body. And these people who tell you that we're only soul and body, they also do not know the truth of the scriptures. Spirit, soul, and body. The Word of God divides between soul and spirit. And is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And I pray God that He will speak to your heart today and make you love the truth as you've never loved it before. Grace be with you. Mercy and peace from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father. In truth and love, I rejoiced greatly that I found of thy children walking in truth, as we have received a commandment from the Father. He's saying to them, O church, I taught you the truth. You know, ladies and gentlemen, this was one of the last epistles ever written by an apostle. Because we think that John, when he was with Jesus and saw Jesus die on the cross, was between 14 and 16 years of age. We know that this epistle was written about 80 years after Christ died on the cross. At that point alone, it would make John about 96 years of age when he wrote it. He didn't claim authorship. He said to them, this is from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I rejoice that I taught you the truth and you taught it to those that you led into the faith. Buy the truth and sell it not. 3 John verse 3, for I rejoiced greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in the truth. Their truth was a testimony. Their truth, and let me tell you, ladies and gentlemen, you dare not, you cannot accept anything into your soul that isn't in the Word of God. We're talking about heaven. We're talking about eternity. Maybe to help somebody pray. Let me tell you how I was praying last night or this morning. While you were asleep. Oh God, I believe in the truth. I believe in the virgin birth. I believe in the life of Jesus. I believe in the death on the cross. I believe that the blood cleanses from all sin. I believe in the resurrection. I believe in the Holy Ghost. You say, well, that's simple. No, it's not. No, it's not. Christians today will give out truth that tears at the very vitals of the deity of Christ. People will take the doctrine of the Holy Spirit and they will stretch it so far that they walk away from Jesus. We only want to know the truth as it is in Jesus. We want to know the truth as it is in the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, not three gods, but one co-equal in power and glory, and particularly in essence. Indescribable, almost unapproachable, inscrutable, but not unknowable, because He has sent His Spirit into our hearts that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. And this man said, I rejoice. He's an old man. Soon he's going to be with the Lord he loves. And oh, to hear that you walk in truth. I have no greater joy, verse 4, than to hear that my children walk in truth. There's no greater joy to his heart. Why? Because the law was given by Moses. But grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Buy the truth and sell it not. Let me just for a moment ponder on the second part of the verse. Sell it not. Don't give it away. Don't give it away. Don't stop praying because somebody speaks lightly of prayer. Don't take half the New Testament because some jumped up spiritual intellectual comes along who thinks he's wiser than God. Stay with the truth. Stay with the whole Bible. For all scriptures given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. We've got crazy people. Some don't believe in the book of James. They say it cries up works too much. God help us. If your faith doesn't get into shoe leather, if your faith doesn't produce works, you don't have the faith of God. If your faith doesn't produce holy living, you have got the wrong faith. Oh, you may be in Romans chapter 7, and like Paul, you may be struggling, and you may be one day walking in the light and another walking in the shadow and another walking in the daylight. Well, that's as it is with many of us. But you're still facing Him, you're still going on, and you still believe that a man can be holy, that a woman can be holy, that we can live in a way that is pleasing to God. And when God says, I want you to be holy, He meant it. Don't sell this truth. Don't measure yourself by others. We are not superior. There is no Christian in this church that I know of that is superior to any other Christian in the world. We are not superior to others. But we don't have to keep comparing ourselves with others. We need to compare ourselves with the Word of God. We need to let the Word of God go across our hearts, roll across our spirit, and show us what we're really like. Dear friends, buy the truth and sell it not. Don't give it up for anything. Don't let man or woman or devil or beast keep you from the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Finally, I read last night where Ezekiel had a vision of the city at the 25th year of the Babylonian captivity. He had a vision of the city and he had a vision of the temple. God gave him this vision. And God said this, just listen to it. I'll tell you where it is afterwards. I want you to listen to it. In the visions of God, he brought me into the land of Israel and set me upon a very high mountain, by which was as the frame of a city on the south. And he brought me thither, and behold, there was a man whose appearance was like the appearance of brass, with a line of flax in his hand and a measuring reed. And he stood in the gates. We know who that man is whose appearance is like brass. It's in the book of Revelation. And his feet shone like burnished brass. And the man said unto me, Son of man, behold with thine eyes and hear with thine ears. Now listen, this is the part I want for you, ladies and gentlemen, to close this sermon. And set thine heart upon all that I shall show thee, for to the intent that I might show them unto thee art thou brought hither. Declare all that thou seest to the house of Israel. Set your heart upon all that I show thee. The words of Jesus to our hearts today, I'm sure. Set your heart on them. Everything he shows you. And show it to God's people. Share it with others. Let us bow in prayer. We ask thee, O God of heaven, to come and be with us today. We thank you that has answered the prayer of our hearts. We thank you for that. We thank you, Lord, for the simple words that have been spoken here today. And we just pray that you would make us a people who love the truth. Make us a people who are not afraid of the truth. Make us a people who are not ashamed of the truth. Make us a people, Lord, who show in their lives the truth that they preach. And the truth that they believe. Father, we know that your church is in great peril. Because on one side we've got people who believe anything that comes out of their hearts. We've got others who believe everything in the Bible with such ferocity they lack the love. They haven't got the fire. And they rest the scriptures to their own destruction. Lord, I wouldn't put myself in the middle. I wouldn't say that I'm better than thee. I would just say to thee, O God of heaven, help me not to be deceived. Help me to know the truth. Help me not to walk in lies. Help me not to walk in error. Help me to know the doctrine. Jesus, my Lord, my Master, I remember this day what you said to Pilate. For this cause was I born. For this reason I came into the world. That I may bear witness to the truth. And everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. O Lord Jesus Christ, I want to hear your voice. I want to hear your voice through the ministry of the Holy Spirit and through understanding thy holy word. Now, Lord, as we go from this place, would you bring that benediction upon us? We want the sanctity of this hour to go with us to our homes. We want to be like we are now, tonight, when we go to bed. We want to feel what we feel now when we wake up in the morning and face a day of labor. Oh, we pray for truth. Bring truth into our hearts. Separate us with your blessing. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the head over all things to the church. Amen.